We are in Luke chapter 10, a very common passage, but it has quite a bit of instruction in it. Perhaps that you haven't seen. I'll say, and I hadn't either, as I was preparing the lesson, I was pretty taken by the fact that there is much to glean from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, speaking about Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" So we're in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Let me describe the scene for you a little bit about what's going on here. We'll walk back through the passage. "It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." The certain village, we find out from John chapter 12, is Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their brother, lived. "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." You know, this is a very important thing that Martha did, because as the disciples traveled from city to city and place to place, he had told them in Matthew chapter 10 that you're going to end up staying in certain houses and people are going to feed you, and I want you to eat what they put before you. Don't take extra clothes. Don't take extra money. Don't do any of that. They're going to take care of you. Well, Martha was just one such person like that. She opened her home and received, the Bible says, him into her house. But be mindful, in the first part of 38, "it came to pass as they went." Okay, he entered into a certain village and she received him. He's with his disciples. This is not going to be hospitality extended to one man. It's going to be hospitality extended to him and to his disciples as a group. So there is quite a bit to do. "She received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet," meaning Jesus taking the opportunity in her house away from the multitude that generally accompanied him anywhere he went. Now that he's in the house and his disciples are there, he's taking an opportunity to teach them something. And when Mary hears him teaching, then she also goes and sits at his feet to hear what he has to say and heard his word. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" So the situation is they both live there. Martha has invited him in, but half the family. There's actually three of them because of Lazarus as well. But her sister's not helping out with the chore of taking care of all these people. And Martha is perturbed about that and wants Jesus to know and wants Mary to know that she's not happy about that. And she's tired of serving alone. And so Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Which had to seemingly add insult to injury, because she was looking for help and instead she got a rebuke. But such as it is, that's the scene. So you kind of have an appreciation for what's going on there. So let's go through the text then and learn why this is here. I mean, if you think about it, this is a little episode, and you may be asking yourself, like I did, why is this even here? A little sister spat and a place for Jesus to teach his disciples. But there's more to it than that. You'll notice, first of all, that she opened her home. She received him into her house. May I tell you something? Hospitality is a good thing. It is an inconvenience when you open the doors of your home to somebody, and particularly to a group like this. It's going to be an inconvenience. You're going to have extra things to do. You're not just taking care of your family. But Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, and you don't need to turn there, in verse 13, that we are to distribute to the necessity of saints, listen, given to hospitality. Okay? And she is given to hospitality. So she's given to hospitality, and hospitality is a good thing. We should be given to hospitality, but you understand, when you open your home to take care of somebody, you are adding to the burden of your household. So it's a good thing when it can be done in a way that your hospitality is extended and the extra load is not overly burdensome. Notice then also in our text, she received him into her house, and in verse 40, Martha, let's just say, was serving, was cumbered about, but she was serving. And may I say to you, service is a good thing. We should be servants. The Lord taught his disciples, and he said, I came here to minister. And not to be ministered to. I've come to give my life a ransom for many. And I want you to follow this example. You want to be great? That's in people. You want to be the head? That's in people. He said, then you serve. You do what you're seeing. Look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Serving, particularly people who are serving in the name of the Lord, is a good thing. What Martha did is rewardable. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That type of service is a good thing. And we're taught in Ephesians chapter 6 that when we serve, we are to serve as to the Lord and not unto men. And she did that. So hospitality that you see here, it's a good thing. In other words, when you read kind of the chaos that was going on in the home, you don't want to get the idea that hospitality and service are not a good thing because of the turmoil creates in the house. They are a good thing, and we're commended to do them. Okay? But being cumbered about much serving, that's not a good thing. And so we're going to learn from examining this passage of Scripture what's going on here and what we can, how we can benefit from what we're seeing here. Cumbered is not a good thing. Cumbered is harassed. Cumbered is exhausted. Cumbered is fatigued. Wearing down with the load is what's happening. Now notice, the problem was not the number of people that she had to take care of. The problem was this, much serving. You see that? Not cumbered with serving. Doing this for the Lord, she wouldn't have been. This is cumbered with much serving. In other words, she's gone overboard. A sandwich would have done. But she decided they needed a pork roast, and a special salad, and three vegetables, and two breads, and sweet tea and unsweetened tea and sodas and water and coffee. Do you understand? She went overboard. And when she did, it exhausted her. It was too much. I'll say this, if you are prone to putting on the dog, you're going to get tired when you're trying to do something good for the Lord, because you're going to go, I mean, anybody that tries it, you're not going to enjoy serving, and serving is not something that you should do, not to be enjoyed. The Lord got on Israel. Back in Deuteronomy, I'd like to read this for you. He warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 28 of the bad things that would happen to them if they decided that they were not going to obey him. And he said, here's one of the problems. I'll read it for you. It's Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. And here's what he said. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God, listen, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. In other words, God never intended for us to serve to the point of being cumbered. He intends for us to serve joyfully. He intends for us to serve with gladness. But when you can't, when you serve and you're cumbered, it's not a good thing. And truly, the people that you're serving are not going to get the joy of your hospitality when they see what it's doing to you. When it's wearing you out, when they experience your attitude, it's going to be like, you know, what's the use of this? Why didn't we just go get hamburgers? So that's the problem. The hospitality, fantastic. Serving them, fantastic, commended to do so, but not cumbered. And that cumbered was the result of not opening her home. That's not the reason. It was much serving that got to her. Well, after some time of feeling this, she was Popeye. Right? I've had all I can stand, and I can stand no more. And so now she's going to get mouthy about it, and she goes to the Lord, and she said, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone?" You know, it is amazing when we get into these situations how the Lord is the first one to catch grief over this. Before going and bothering her sister about this, as a matter of fact, it's a little bit dysfunctional. She never confronts Mary directly. She goes to the Lord and says, "You tell her." So you now know this thing has really got jangled, because if you're serving as to the Lord, the last person you need to take it out on is the Lord. "Dost thou not care?" You know, we're told in the Scripture, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The Lord is never going to not care. I'm reminded of the disciples when they're in the boat and the boat's filling up with water. "Carest thou not that we perish?" Well, first of all, you're not going to perish, but yes, I do care, as a matter of fact. The fact that you see me sleeping here is not an indication that I don't care. It's just that you're getting a lot of worked up about something that is not going to capsize the ship. And so may I tell you something? When you are extending hospitality and when you are serving others and you get ticked off, it's not the Lord's fault. Do you see that in the Scripture? We should learn from this. Because all of us, if we have a heart to serve God, all of us at some point, if we have not already, have pushed ourselves to this point and got a little edgy with the Lord, a little fussy with the Lord. And it's not him. Okay? And I'll tell you something else. Not only is it not the Lord's fault, it's not the fault of the ones you're serving either. Hey, can't anybody lift a finger and help me out here? Look what she says. In verse 40, Martha, we're in Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister, watch this, hath left me to serve alone? That self-pity? That all singling yourself out in the work of the ministry? She couldn't handle that she was cumbered, but frankly, she could have handled the service that she was offering if she hadn't gone overboard with her. I'm reminded of somebody that lives in my house. Decorations are very important to her, and I told her, I said, decorations don't change the flavor of the food. They don't enhance the fellowship. They just look good. But so you can handle it if you stay within the limits of the service that is done unto the Lord. You know, sometimes when we serve to the point that Martha did, we're trying to bring a little bit of attention to ourselves about how well we did this. You can just imagine Martha having this idea, well, the Lord is here, and look, He's here with His disciples. I bet they've never have received a hospitality like they're going to receive at my house. As many places as they've been, these are our friends, and we're really going to go, we're going to put on the dog for them. But what happens is you get to a point where you've done too much and you get fussy with those you're serving. You say, how do you know that? I've done it. When Ann had her first knee surgery, they said you have to wash the sheets every day and you want to make sure there's always food prepared because the medicine will upset the stomach, so there's always got to be something ready for her to eat. Well, to do that, you got to get it out of the fridge and warm it up because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you got to keep the dishes clean, and then you got to make sure the dogs are walked. And after a little while, I guess about 16 minutes of that, or actually it was about 3 days, I got real fussy. And she smiled and she said, you're doing a lot of things that you don't need to do. I don't need you telling me that. And what this trouble leads to is strife right here. It leads to vainglory. In other words, I hate to admit that part of the reason I'm doing this is because I want you to be able to go to the next town and tell them, man, you ought to see how they took care of us at Martha's house. Turn with me to Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. May I tell you something? There was something going on in Martha's house that was this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. She wasn't esteeming her sister better than herself. She was running her sister down. When your service goes here, there's a problem, but may I tell you something? It's not the Lord's fault, and it's not the fault of the ones you're serving. You say, well, somebody's to blame. Okay, let's put the blame where it belongs. It's your fault. I know you don't want to, when it's happening, you really don't want to hear that. So it's not happening right now, so I can tell you. And that way, when it happens and the bell goes off in your head, you're like, bing, oh yeah, I forgot. This is my fault. Then it won't be like somebody's reproving you in the middle of the stress you're already experiencing. You say, how do you know it was her fault? Because Jesus said so. Look at verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. There are about 7 times in the Bible where the Lord uses the person's name twice. And that's kind of like you calling your child by their first and middle name. There were times in our house when our children were glad we didn't give them middle names because we couldn't do that. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, many things. You see, the situation with Martha is that she compounded the problem of now hosting this entourage, because it wasn't just taking care of their immediate necessity that was eating at her. She was careful and troubled about what? Many things. There were some of those things that were not essential to the service that she was trying to provide. And you will find in your own life, when stress's wave has crested, it's usually not that one thing, it's many things. And that one thing was the straw that broke the camel's back. You know what happens when you want to do a good job? And listen, I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't do a good job, but you ought to do what's pleasing to the Lord, which is enough, and I should do. What happens is that you now prioritize, listen to this very carefully, you now prioritize the carnal over the spiritual. There was something very important going on in that room at the time she's banging dishes in the kitchen. Jesus is trying to talk to his disciples in a private moment. And there's somebody who loved him very much that is picking up on what he has to say. You know, she, Martha, prioritized that carnal food over the spiritual food. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God, manifest in the flesh, is speaking something, and yet what Martha was doing was more important to her than what Jesus was doing. You'll prioritize the carnal over the spiritual. You'll prioritize the temporal over the eternal. Everyone in this room is going to wrestle every day with your priorities. There are eternal things that God has for you to do each day, and there are temporal things that you have to do by fact that you're living in this life. There are carnal things. You've got to put food on the table. There are carnal things that you deal with in this life. And there are spiritual things that you deal with in this life, and you don't want to miss the spiritual things because of your attention to the carnal things. You wrestle with it every day. We all do. And that's what she did. So we're in Luke chapter 10. That's where we're studying, verses 38 to 42. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And notice one of the very first instructions that the Lord gave to the multitude who heard him speak at what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Because he said, this is going to help you in your life when you are trying to determine how much attention to give to carnal things and how much attention to give to spiritual things. How much attention to give to temporal things and how much attention to give to eternal things. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink. And that's what she was taking thought for. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? And then he uses the fowls and the lilies as an illustration. And then you go to verse 31. In Matthew chapter 6, therefore take how much thought? No thought. Well, she had put a lot of thought into this. What should we eat or what should we drink or wherewithal should we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first, that's the priority, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And you could just imagine Martha thinking, man, if these guys spend the night, well, I've got to do us all over again for breakfast too. You see what I'm saying? And so when he tells Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, thou art careful and troubled about many things, she's weighed down by the non-essentials. She's weighed down by the carnal, by the temporal, while something very spiritual and something very eternal is taking place under her roof, and it's flipped, and now she wants to take it out on the Lord and take it out on Mary, and truly, neither one of them is at fault. It's on Martha. Here's what's going on in Martha's mind, here's what's going on in the Lord's mind in verse 41. When what you have to offer when what you have to offer with your service becomes more important to you than what the Lord has to offer, it's flipped. When what you have to offer in service to the Lord is more important than what the Lord has to offer, it's flipped. You're going to get out of sorts, just like Martha did. What does it mean to be careful? He said, you're careful in trouble. Those are the two things he called her out on. You're careful. What does that mean? Well, you should be careful when you're driving your vehicle, okay? Not that carefulness is bad in itself. But when he describes careful here, you picture it, and it's actually defined this way. We're talking about meticulously careful. These are disciples. They've been casting out devils. They've been muddying up their feet. They've been kicked out of certain cities. They've stayed in all kinds of places. It's not important to them whether the knife on the right side of the plate is facing with the blade toward the plate or away from the plate. But it is to somebody who is meticulously careful. Just give me a knife. Right? It doesn't make any difference if the salad fork is on the outside of the dinner fork or even if there are two forks. If you don't have one, I'll use my hands. These are disciples. These are commercial fishermen, tax collectors, rugged guys. They've endured a lot of hardship by this time. There's a lot of fuss going on here that's unnecessary. You're careful. And the Lord says, be careful for nothing. You know, so things, and he said about many things, things should not cause you to care. And what is trouble? Trouble is worried, anxious. And I know none of you are inclined to be anxious or worried about anything. I know that. May I tell you something? You shouldn't bring things on you to cause you more trouble than already exists with the trouble in life. Job said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Life is trouble. Paul is talking about marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He's talking about somebody who's now widowed and is going to remarry. And he says, well, marry as in the Lord, but he said, I want you to know something. You're going to have trouble in the flesh. And you go into that thinking, I love her so much, I'm not going to have trouble. You will have trouble. You know, when Sam Gipp, who is a preacher, married his son and daughter-in-law, and they had the toasts after the wedding, and his son is a pastor, he said to them, he stood up and he gave his toast, he said, you're going to fight. But when you do, don't call each other bad names. And then he sat down. What are you saying? That trouble is already in life. And what he's saying is, don't compound it with many things. Leave it alone. Don't make it worse than it is. You don't need Martha to add to the trouble. So he said, you're careful in trouble about many things. So it wasn't just the meal. You know, if Martha had not already been troubled by so many other things, she probably could have handled this meal without being cumbered. But that's not her nature, not at least here. Okay? So remember then, it's not, you don't take it out on the Lord. It's not his fault. Don't take it out on the ones you're serving. It's not their fault. It's your fault. And you just have to own that. I mean, was it not Martha that opened up the house and brought them all in the first place? Okay, well, it's on her. You see, the dysfunction in life is you want to blame somebody else for something that's your fault because you don't want to acknowledge that really and truly you should take responsibility for yourself when you get loaded down like this. But you should. That's what he's teaching us. Now, in verse 42, the Lord then goes on to say to Martha, one thing is needful, not many things. Not much serving. That's not needful. One thing is needful. When the Lord says one thing is needful, he's saying this is not optional. This is essential. You can do without the others, but you can't do without this. And then he goes on to say, as if, and he's not trying to rub salt in the wound, he just has to point it out, you're taking this out on your sister. Not only is it not her fault, but I would like you to know she has made a better choice than you have. It's not intended to rub salt in the wound. It's intended to give us instruction. When you are faced with these kinds of things in your own life, and we all are, you want to recognize what the essential thing is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What the essential thing is, and make that choice. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing. She chose well. You didn't choose well. It's a rebuke. It's a rebuke. The needful thing, he says, is a good part. So they were playing their part. Mary was sitting at the feet listening to Jesus. Martha was in the kitchen banging dishes. And they were playing a part. And I realize at some point food's going to be brought to the table. But he said, of the two parts that you play in the drama that's unfolding here, she's got the best part. She's got the lead. It's really, you can do without the carnal things. These guys have gone without meals before, if it had come to that. They just needed a break from the multitude, frankly. And I've often said when I'm somewhere, here or anywhere else, where all of that chaos that surrounds hospitality is beginning to get excessive, I'll say this. Or somebody will say, oh, what restaurant will you want to go to? There's like this high class. And I will say, if I'm being hosted somewhere else at another church, for instance, to me, it's not about the food, it's about the fellowship. Anywhere is fine as long as we can hear each other. And I believe that. It's not about the food, it's about the fellowship. I will survive on whatever's there. It doesn't need the best restaurant you have in town. I'm not going to when we leave here, I'm not going to go home and tell everybody about that class restaurant that we went to in your city. I'm going to remember what kind of fellowship we had at the table. And that's what's important. You know, the problem with people who serve a lot is that, say it again, the problem with people who serve a lot is that they miss time with Jesus. And that time should not be taken away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but the Lord will destroy both it and them. It goes in, it goes out. The Word of God goes in, it stays, and you grow. You know what Martha could have done? She's like, oh, Jesus is here and He's speaking. Sister's sitting down at His feet and listening. Must be good. Put this on hold, turn the food down to simmer. I'm going to sit down here and listen to what they got to say. She could have done that, but she didn't. And the Lord basically is saying to her, you had a choice. You made a bad choice. She made a good choice. And if you'd have made the choice that she had made, you would have made the right choice. Oh, when you've gotten to this point in your emotion, you really, really don't want to hear somebody tell you that. Because you can't unwind. You can't play the film back 45 minutes and start over again. Okay? But you know something? And he said, in that part that she it won't be taken away from her. It has an eternal value. And may I tell you something? The service has an eternal value too, if you do it in the right spirit, with the right attitude. But she kind of missed out on that because she got a little cranky. Okay. Now, in this though, it dawned on me, as it probably has to you, Mary was hearing what he had to say. Martha heard what he had to say too. It's directed right to her. She didn't miss out on getting something from the Lord. She got something. As a matter of fact, what she got from the Lord has been recorded, and we know what it is. We don't even know what he said to the disciples and to Mary, but we do know what he said to her. It's been recorded in the eternal Word of God. So he did tell her something, and I'm going to tell you something. She heard. She heard. Now you might be saying to yourself, I can't believe he spoke to her that way after all she was doing to help them. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You got to know something about that relationship that Jesus had with her and with her sister and with their brother. John chapter 11. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. That's how you know where they were. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus, what are the next two words? Loved Martha and her sister. Didn't even name Mary and Lazarus. He loved her. And put in the three, he put her name first. He loved them all the same. You know that, but we got to understand when all this took place at Martha's house, Jesus appreciated, but he also provided a pretty stern rebuke right there in front of her sister, right there in front of the disciples. But may I tell you something? He loved her. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's what Solomon said. And so he helped her. She heard what he had to say. And may I tell you, it came from a heart of love. He was not trying to put her down. Obviously, he appreciated what she was doing, but he had to get her priorities straightened out. Now, do you think she learned anything from the reproof? I do. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. It looked like Mary got involved in the preparation, at least. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment and anointed him. Don't you love verse 2? And Martha served. She heard it. She got it. She got it. No chaos, no cumbered, no careful, no troubled, no running after it. What in the world? All the disciples, Judas Iscariot started it in this passage, but you read the other Gospels, all the disciples began to murmur against Mary for that waste of that spikenard. Putting that on Jesus' body. How dare she? Nothing against Martha at all. You know what? She got it. She got the message. She heard him. She heard him. Got the priorities straightened out. No distraction. I say this. Mary could take the time to do what she did to Jesus in anointing his body before his burial because Martha did what she was good at. And what Martha did for the Lord in serving facilitated Mary doing what she did in anointing the body of Jesus. It was very cooperative, very peaceful, and both rewardable. You see the difference? By doing her part in serving, Martha helped Mary do her part. Serving can be a really good part if it's done in the right spirit. I'll show you one New Testament example, Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Serving tables, no less, can be an excellent thing as part of the ministry if it's done in the right spirit, done for the Lord, done without all that chaos. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and do what? Serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. Turn the page. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. This is what they did, and watch what the result was. Verse 7, the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You know what they did? They didn't demean the service these men did. They had to be full of the Holy Ghost and of good report. They encouraged others to serve tables in the same spirit that they ministered in the Word of God in prayer so that these guys could continue to minister the Word of God in prayer while these guys served tables and both could work together in cooperation without chaos. You see it? And some of us are more oriented to serve and some of us more oriented to the ministry of the Word, but when we each do our part without what happened in Luke chapter 10, it's very peaceful, very rewardable, very good. because you're always keeping the priorities straight. It's a good lesson. Father, we're thankful today to learn from the Scripture, and we pray that you will help us to live by the Scripture for Jesus' sake. Amen.